turn me to Mark chapter 1. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to minister your word this morning to your people, Father God. Lord, I ask that you speak through me effectively that they might receive the message which you so firmly put on my heart. And Father God, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And those who want.
All right.
This morning I want to open your eyes to a reality that we must come to understand. There are facts that individuals need to know that will either help them govern their life or it will cause them to be at least aware that the choices that they make always can have consequences for the good or consequences for the bad. How do y'all know that heaven is a real place?
Amen.
How do y'all know that heaven is a real place?
Praise God.
Do y'all know that heaven is a real place?
Yes.
How do y'all know that hell is a real place too?
Oh, yes.
Heaven and hell are very, very real. Life and death is very, very real. Last night I was in my room and I'm just thinking it. Ever so often, from time to time, I don't know if y'all just start to just ever just sit down and just start to think that, man, I'm an actual live human being. Have you ever really thought that you are an actual live human being? That it doesn't, it's not a video game. It's, your life's not a video. It's not going to just come on and off and so on and so forth. You are an individual with a brain that can think. Amen. You can choose to put on your shoes. You can choose to walk around barefoot. You can choose to put on a suit and tie, or you can choose to put on a pair of shirts and holy jeans. Amen. And I was thinking, man, I'm a human being. And it came to my attention that to understand things, you have to really realize that you are alive. You need to know that you are alive and able to do what God wants you to do. But if you think that you're just a little robot with programming and so on and so forth, then your life is going to be really going nowhere. But this morning, the message I'm going to preach to you is entitled, What's It Going to Take? What's it going to take? You see, these preachers, myself, Freddie Armstrong, Fuller, we come here every Sunday, every Wednesday, Sunday night, sometimes in between, to give to you the most precious message that one can ever have the hope of receiving, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
It's the wonderful story of God's precious love sent to mankind. The very essence of God to mankind is what we preach. The gospel.
And I'm going to be a prophet today. I'm going to ask everybody to turn on the cell phone because I feel that if it's not turned on, it's going to ring. Not halfway through the service. So if any of y'all have one of these nice little devices here, let's go ahead and open them up, turn them down to vibrate. The matter of fact, it's violent. If you never will vibrate, then it takes out of your mind.
I know how to microphone.
Okay, amen.
Amen. Amen. Just take it out. But everyone wants y'all full attention today. What's it going to take? I want to make sure that I define what the gospel is for y'all this morning. In the Greek, it simply means to the journey. I need to the message. That's what gospel means, a true message. But more specifically to the Christian, it's the glad tidings of the kingdom of God soon to be set up. When Jesus came and he preached, he said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? He was telling us good news because how do you all want the kingdom of God to return? How do y'all know this king we're in now so he's all gone wicked?
Come on.
Armstrong, it's too much. Wickedness, interest. All these bad things are not so in God's kingdom. But the glad tidings of the kingdom of God soon be set up, and subsequently also that of Jesus Christ the Messiah, who is the founder of that kingdom. And when Jesus died, the gospel entailed that he died and that he rose and that through him we can have salvation, through him we can have everlasting life. Jesus lived and preached for 3.5 years, undyingly, unstoppingly, trying to persuade men to believe in God.
Yeah.
That's what he did, that was his purpose, that was his reason for living, and so God, and so did. In this church, some of you are going to get it, and some of you are not going to
will change not only your life, but it will benefit those who you are around.
Praise God.
Amen. The gospel, the preaching of the kingdom of God, proclaiming the way, proclaiming salvation, declaring Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That's what the gospel is. Good news, world. I know you're hurting. I know you're dying. But if you look to Jesus, you can have life. This is good news. Good news, isn't it? That your sin inherits you hell, but that his grace can inherit you mercy in heaven. Amen. That's good news. If someone told me that, hey, brother, out of my pocket, $3 million in your bank account last night, that would be good news. Do you think I'd be sitting back on that good news? Or do you think I'd keep that ATM card? To see it happening. What I'm trying to show y'all today is that you fresh here, some of you, many weeks without week, month without month, but don't understand the good news. See, when you understand the good news, you don't live like you got that good news. But I told you earlier, I'm a living individual. I'm very aware that I am alive. I can have health. Mark receives good news. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That word meant, and I say it time to time, it simply means to have a change of mind. In relation to nothing else, have a change of mind. That means to be thinking about robbing the bank and then say, hey, that's not God's way. I'm going to turn from that thing and go the correct way. Wrong thinking. God, we always have to correct wrong thinking. We need to repent and change our mind from wrong thinking to right thinking. If you think that being a Christian is just sitting down and not doing anything, you need to repent of that thinking.
Amen.
If you think being a Christian is just having a thought or an understanding of Christ and never pertaining to that truth, that's the wrong thinking. It's not enough to know some things. You have to know and to do to be a Christian. Amen. Don't think that it's okay for your whole life to wither away and not one time you serve God in fullness. That's wrong thinking. Don't think all you have to do to get to heaven is just sit back and do nothing. My Bible says believe.
Yes.
My Bible says believe and follow and obey. Amen. Jesus, the first thing he preached, repent, Jesus. Understand that there was lots of church going on when Jesus came. Wasn't there? There were a whole church in order. Scribes, Pharisees, high priests, God's people made their best form of religion and failed. Jesus said, let your righteousness exceed the righteousness of these scribes and these Pharisees. These hypocrites will never enter the heaven.
Amen.
What do you think he was talking about? If your righteousness does not exceed that, or if your righteousness is not better than this external performance, that's all they had church. They had sacrifices. They had a reading of God's word. They put on their biggest, brightest suit and went through all the formality, and God said, none of them are going to heaven.
Come on.
That's not the righteousness God's looking for, external. If the inward is not right, then what you do externally does not matter. But I have some good news for you this morning. My life more years. But if you believe and follow him, he will name you as his own. Amen. He says, the time was fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Look with me to Mark chapter 8. The review passes over. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 in verse 34, the last part of verse 34, and it says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Christ tells us that we must lose our life not only for him. Hear what I just said. We don't only lose our life for the sake of Christ, but also for the sake of the gospel. Don't you know that the disciples weren't caught up in the law, but they were caught up in the gospel of Christ? You look in the book of Acts, over and over again, it says they were not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Meaning they were caught up in preaching. They were caught up in proclaiming that Jesus Christ was Lord, that the gospel of Christ was for God to love the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the gospel. Living for Christ. When you give your life to Jesus, you know what he's commissioning you to do? When you give your life to Jesus, do you know what he's going to commission you to do? What do you do to the disciples? He said, go ye therefore, teaching, making disciples of all men. Amen? Amen. Letting them know of the ways of God. Paul did it in the book of Acts when he said, I have fully preached Christ unto you. Do you know what Paul expected them to do after Christ was fully preached unto them? He expected them to teach others. Why do you think that's so? Why would God bring us 12 men and teach them the gospel and have those 12 men go out and teach others and have those others go out and teach others? Do you know there's a reason for that? Because God wants people to be saved. I want for this church to be saved. But if you hear day to day and week after week the great plan of God and it never converts you, hey, I've got some good news. I can share with my friend over here. Hey, friend. You know what? Yesterday I found out some good news. I found out that I was going to hell, but I found that God can save me if I believe in him. You don't have to be an expert to follow Jesus. So the title of the sermon is, what's it going to take for you to live for God? What would it take for you to leave everything you have and just begin to serve God? What would it take? Ben, what would it take for you to leave every single thing that God has given you and just serve him with nothing that you already have right now? You know what I mean? I want you to think about it. What would it take for you?
to do today? Some folks don't get this thing. Oh, why has he blinded? Does God have to blind you to serve him? Does God have to get you in the sick bed before you wake up and cry out to him? He'll do what he has to.
Yes, he will.
Does he have to cause an earthquake like he did to the prison guard? Does he have to shake your past up to wake you up? Life will come to an end just like that. Hell has no age limit.
Come on now.
Young people,
come on.
Hell has no age limit. He'll take you young, he'll take you old. He'll take you sick, he'll make you healthy. What are you going to take? The greatest news that people could have ever received came in the form of a little baby boy named Jesus Christ. The Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the promise of every scripture. So I have to trust me. What can you take for you serve God? Because until your demands are met, you're not going to do nothing, amen?
Amen.
Who wants to be honest and answer that question? What's he going to take? Most people have a hard time believing that God's word is true. Let me show you how powerful this gospel is. Because when you believe in Christ, you have to believe in the message. Amen?
Amen.
And if we can understand the biblical concept from the scripture, how do y'all know, and how do y'all believe that Jesus Christ is saved? Well, why do you believe that? Why do you believe that Jesus Christ is saved? Because it's in his word, amen? Because it's written down in red that he can say that whosoever can believe in not perish and have everlasting life. Okay, Lord, well, I can believe that you can save me. Talking to Benny this weekend, I don't know how he got conversations, but he was saying that Jesus constantly asked people, do you think I can do that for you? Do you think I can heal you? Do you think that I can do this thing? And I said, sure, he said, that's a couple of verses. Do you think that I'm able to perform that what you asked of me? Let me ask you, do you think that Jesus can save you? Do you believe for that, can't you? Do you believe he can keep you? Because what you don't believe Christ for is what you won't have. In that same book, in that same word written in red, thanks to modern day technology, good old Bible research, didn't say that you're much more valuable than a little sparrow. And in that same book say that God knows that no bird falls from heaven without him knowing it of it. And didn't say you're much more high than me. Can you believe that? In that same little book in red say, don't take thought for what you'll eat or drink. Don't take thought for where you'll go. Don't take thought for your food. Don't take thought for your raiment. Just seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Amen.
And I think I've said that in the church more times than ever. Probably the last one of you all heard everybody say that every Sunday time we get up. Can you believe God for that? He wants you to focus on one thing. You need to realize that heaven is up there and you're down here and God be working to get up there. Can't you look up and see, hey, man, look at that sun, way up there. I'm all the way down here. How do I get up there? I'm all the way down here. Amen. I can look down, I don't want to be an angel stepped on. But I'm trying to say to y'all this morning, there's one thing going to take. God brings out blessing after blessing. Captain gave testimony this morning. He thanks the Lord for all the blessings that he continually blesses us with. Our blessings are enough for you to serve God. I'll tell you this right now. God can give you $50 billion. And of course, $50 billion would not serve God. God can give you perfect health, great wisdom, and great understanding, a new Mercedes Benz, and the Lord can literally say, all right, I want you to serve me. I'm going to give you $50 billion, anything else you want. Whatever you need, I'm going to they offer? Did Christ say, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it?
Amen.
In the same book that we look for salvation and healing and mercy and grace, say, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. Is that what the scripture says? Jesus made an offer. Now the guy said, try me. Try me and see. If I will not open up the heavens before God has blessed me, that you cannot be even saved. But the Lord said that no one, a lot of people wouldn't even try.
Amen.
I know that one of the biggest hindrances for people who serve God is their concern about how we're going to survive. We here are used to comfort. We're used to possessions. How many of y'all want to clean out the cold? Jesus did.
Come on now.
Are you better than him? How many of y'all want to trust in God for a meal? Elijah did. Are you better than him? How many of y'all want to be led by God for a wilderness that you're not familiar with? None of us do what you have to be. No one wants to go out in the wilderness. No one wants to walk across the sea to come in water. But not until you make an effort to go in God's way. Can God show you miracles that you've never seen before? If you continue to think in your brain, I'll be a better Christian if I have such and such, and I have such and such, and I have such and such, all them such and such is going to get you knocking at the door when it's supposed to be entering in. There's not a better time to serve God. You should be flat broke and go out and serve God today, and you'll be more blessed than someone who's got everything in the world.
Amen.
Stop thinking that there's a better time to serve God. Well, I'll serve God when I get my life together. Come on. Man, I got this done. I got this done. Don't you know that the Lord will take care of those things when you follow him? That's what he said. I'm going to take care of your bills. I'm going to take care of your food. I'm going to take care of every single thing that you try to work for. You know what we do to show God that we truly don't believe? And I've shared this story with y'all a couple times, but I want you to really get today. A roommate, first year in Bible college, Corey Anderson, he said, Adam, you don't need to buy any toilet paper. Don't have to worry about it. I got time. And that same hour, I went down to Walmart, got a new little 24 pack, picked that 24 pack, stacked all over the bathroom. Now, I never really thought of water problem being something, man. Told me you have to buy them, but well, that's what God said. He said you don't have to worry about these things. He said, don't worry about shoes. Don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about food. But that's what we're steadily providing for ourselves.
Come on.
And God's probably thinking, I have steak, he got hamburgers. You know what I'm saying? I was going to get him a Reebok. He got nothing left. When you reject God's blessing, I thought an angel song. Father, I know for an angel, you could have had a, what do they call that, start to see. Start to see. But because I tried to present my offering, instead of accepting what God wanted to give to me, you always settle for less when you get things your own way.
That's right.
Wake up! God's trying to be a corporate thinking. That was a waste of money. I had plenty. Enough for a whole 50 years. He got from the 17th and came to
Armstrong going for all this work.
Woo. Every day, he ain't got no time to pray, he's just tired. And all God can be thinking is, hey, I already got to take care of him. What's he going to take? The benefits? Take news off those benefits. Blessed is the Lord, he daily loads us down with fences. David had no fence to accept. You understand what I'm saying? You have to have enough sense to accept God's will for your life. It might not always be easy. It might not always make sense the way you see things. But I'll tell you this morning, it's better to live a day.
same faith. We talk about living by faith all the time, don't we? How many of you really live by faith? Be honest with yourselves. How many of you truly live by faith? Let me see a show of hands. Of who truly lives by faith. That trust in the Lord for every last thing that they have. Amen? I think you said you have no choice? Have no choice but to trust in God for everything. I like that, man. I can get that. To have no choice but to trust in God. And you're blessed. Give those sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. And some folks be taking their word and never see it. But you can take Jesus at his word. You can take Jesus at his word. If I'm lying to you, heaven strike me down. But you can take Jesus at his word. Bruce, I know you're going through trials. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, do it. And you're going to find that he's no lie. Amen. Maybe next time you go buy a property, you need to have that good old disciple faith. If the Lord has needed it, know those disciples didn't pay a dime for that coat.
That's right.
You know why I didn't pay a dime for that coat? Because my father owned a cabin on South Hills. He lets us borrow it sometimes. You know what I'm saying? God owns everything.
Everything.
Every single house, every single possession, every single thing that is on this earth, God has, it is his. And though he allows men to borrow it sometimes, and even to use it, when you're in the will of the Lord has needed it. If God wants you to do a great work, I saw a church sign today, where God needs, I think it was on Mount Carmel Church, they got a sign that says, where God needs, he provides, or something like that. No, where God dies, he provides, the light of the Lord. When God died, he provided. If you find yourself in a way that ain't no commitment, then I think you didn't provide, which means you made a wrong turn. You need to turn around. Because not one time, all of the Bible is God not provide for children. And if y'all think of one story where God didn't provide for children, there's not one. I'm asking a serious question this morning. What is going to take? You can't live tomorrow like you live today. Because tomorrow is a whole new day that you can do something to the Lord with. Days pass by, weeks pass by, and all those Christians have us talking about serving God. I think I'm going to serve God today. I think I'm going to pray today. I think today is going to be the day that I give my life to Jesus. It's going to take more than a thought. You have to believe and follow. Scripture says in chapter 8, verse 35, whosoever saves his life shall lose it, but whosoever to lose his life in my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Why do you think that Jesus is so adamant about you not being a coward? His words are true. God wants you to stand up for truth. He doesn't want you to embrace a life of pride or a sour life. His name, and I want you to understand this, when we don't trust in God, we in essence deny his name. Do you understand? If God says, believe it, I'm going to read it again for you to see it for yourself. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my word. Meaning Christ and his word are the same thing. What's the way to show shame? Any of us been ashamed before? Say, maybe I'm sure when you're younger, might have had to stop a nice young lady. And between you and that young lady, y'all might have been real close. And your company, between her, she'll say, oh, you're my love, and I love you so much. But then when she goes and introduces you to parents, oh, this is my friend. This is my friend.
God will ask you to lead your life tonight. But the life that He will give you is
far greater than what you could ever expect here. Amen. Luke chapter 4:18, your rainbow says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it to the gate of the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were there in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say to them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." That's the gospel. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of scripture. Amen.
Amen.
Your life. Your life. Your life is to be fulfillment of the scripture. Let me help you out there. Your life ready is to be fulfillment of the scripture. Because the Bible says, blessed are those that do want to be them to preach the gospel glad tidings. Your Peter and Ezekiel. What it says, you see, I have no satisfied to say God has provided everything for me. Proving that the scripture is real. Amen. Proving that the scripture is real. I need healing. And guess what? Jesus healed me because the scripture is real. I'm living proof. I'm that little lame and crippled man that has a little talk with Jesus. Your life is to be the fulfillment of scripture. Being delivered by the power of God. Amen. Let the gospel be fulfilled in you. And close out with that one more time. What's it going to take? The gospel, we all know it. What's it going to take? Who's going to leave here to serve God? And honest the truth. Which of you is going to leave here today and say, "I'm going to serve God for the rest of my life"? Anybody? Amen. Because if the gospel's not enough, nothing else is going to be. If the gospel is not enough for you to leave your life behind and to begin to follow Jesus,